This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. Healthy Habits.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
When we think of decluttering, we think about clearing out the cupboards, but there is another way to do it and something that could be really beneficial to us during these pandemic days. Joining us on the line is Sahil Mehta. He's an executive coach, sharing his tips on way to declutter the mind, body and soul during this tough period. Sahil, how are you? Can I ask you, we always have a bit of a mental health check-in with our guests, and I wondered how you're doing. How have the last few weeks been?
The last few weeks, I feel that I've been ready for this moment. I know that sounds strange, but I've been doing a lot of work on my inner self and getting very comfortable with just being with me. And as a result of that, during these times where I've had a lot of time with myself, just the family, since I've worked so hard on improving those relationships over the last 2-3 years, I'm actually enjoying it. I'm feel blessed that I'm with family. I feel blessed that I'm able to engage with them on a daily basis, have 2 meals with the kids every single day. So lots of good that's coming out. Of course, there are lots of concerns as well in the workplace. But when it comes to family and the relationships that I value the most, it's been fantastic.
I think that's right. I think it's been amazing for connections, whether that is with people, you know, under our roof who we might be spending more time with than ever before, or with people all around the world, you know, and that can be through technology, of course, which is kind of amazing. If this was to happen 20 years ago, things would be very, very different. But we're in an interesting kind of position right now. And, you know, a lot of us have got a bit more time for self-reflection. So that's kind of what we're talking about today. Can you tell us what it is you do exactly? I'd love to understand a bit more.
So what I focus on is I help leaders overcome mental overload to reach their summit. You know, and I do this through a 3-step process, which ultimately, if you go through it, it means you can have less stress in your life, you can have a healthier life, and, you know, you'll have more financial abundance. So this is something that I've done to myself for the last 4 years, and now I'm sharing with the world.
Tell me more, because this sounds too good to be true, if you don't mind me saying. How did you get into this? How did it become your career to start with?
Fantastic question. So it goes back 4 years, and what happened was, you know, I've grown up, I was born and raised in Belgium. I'm of Indian descent. You know, in Belgium, they'd tell me that I'm a foreigner. And whenever I'd go to India, which I thought then was my home, I'd be told I'm a foreigner as well, because I didn't really speak or behave like everyone else over there. And so I've always had this confused identity, you know, throughout my lifetime. And that caused me to always try to please other people. Kind of, you know, that was kind of my comfort zone. So I always wore this mask of pleasing others. But when I was focused so much on pleasing others, I wasn't really focusing on myself. I was somewhat ignoring myself. That's the best way to put it. And as you may already know, it's impossible to make everyone happy. So it also led to lots of disappointment. But over time, what I felt was I was just always pulled in different directions because I didn't know what my priority was. So my work would pull me, my family would pull me, I would try to do things to myself, so that would pull me, and I'm quite active in the community, and that would pull me. Being pulled in different directions, and that just caused me to have a lot of stress and anxiety in my life. Now, so I go back to that time 4 years ago. I was on a trip with some friends, and we came to agreement on creating a safe space. So what does that mean? That means we can be who we are, and we don't have to worry about being judged. No, you can do whatever you want, and no one in that group is going to judge you. Now, although I've had little pockets of being free and being myself, I've never, or I shouldn't say never, but I couldn't remember the last time I felt completely authentic and just be me without having to wear any mask whatsoever for 4 days straight. And it was such an amazing experience. There was so much joy and happiness. When I was coming back on you know, back to Dubai, I started writing this down because my wife wasn't on the trip with me and I wanted to share this magical experience with her. And as I'm writing this down on the airplane, I just broke down. And that was really weird as well for me, because everyone who knows me since childhood used to refer me to as Iceman. And, you know, this man, he really hides his emotions. Yeah, and, you know, I had the great poker face. But here I am, just, you know, tears rolling down my cheeks, on the aircraft as I'm writing this down. And I, you know, as I reflected, I realized that when I let my guard down, which was protecting me, you know, and stopping all the danger that could potentially enter my life, it was also stopping good things entering my life. And as I removed these walls and these masks and became vulnerable and open, mm-hmm. magic flow, and it was so overwhelming, I think that's why the tears were coming out. So I realized, then I said to myself, why can't I feel like this every day?
Yeah, you know, why can't more people feel like that every day? You know, whether that's through culture or socialization or, you know, gender stereotypes. There's, you know, there's so many reasons why we're programmed to not allow ourselves to be vulnerable.
Yeah, and for me, it was the fear of how people will perceive me, and I always wanted to be perceived as a you know, great guy who makes you happy. I realized that that didn't work. So when I came back, I said, even if I can't be in that same place all the time, even if I start working towards it, and even if I'm halfway there, that's still much better than where I am today. That was the thought process in my mind. So that's when I started looking at, okay, what clutter is holding me down? And it didn't have to be physical clutter. Mm-hmm. It could be physical or mental. I said, what are things that are holding me down? And, you know, for all those who remember those old prison movies, remember the ball and chain that used to be wrapped around their legs so that they wouldn't run away?
Yes. What's the metaphorical ball and chain around your ankle? How did you begin to work that out?
I just looked at things where it didn't feel right, where it caused me pain or caused me unhappiness. You know, but I also realized in this process that before I started, I realized that the first priority in my life, because I told you earlier, it kept changing, had me. And some people might say, well, that's a bit selfish. What about your wife? What about your kids, your parents? Well, if I'm good, oh, sorry, not good. If I'm great, then the energy that I'm emitting and what I'm going to start attracting is going to be far better than if I'm in a negative state or in a state that's not as it should be. So by focusing on myself, I'm actually improving my frequency and my energy, and that allows the bond between myself and all those around me, whether it's colleagues, friends, family, loved ones, to become stronger.
So you said declutter there, both kind of physical and mental, but it's so hard to get that perspective, don't you think, to be able to not just have the time and the headspace to do that, but to be able to assess objectively, you know, how do you begin to do that?
You know, so the thing that it's reflection, it's spending time with yourself. You know, the other thing that I was not doing was not spending, you know, I'm always on the run. You wake up, it's get the kids ready, you know, feed them breakfast. So mine are 6 and 8, right? So I'm with them on the breakfast table, drop them to school, you know, exercise, get to work, come back, spend time with the kids, put them to bed, spend some time with the wife, perhaps some socializing, go to bed. So where was me time?
You can't see me, but I'm nodding along, and I'm sure a lot of people are too.
So there was no me time, and then I said to myself, the only way I can get me time is to ensure that I'm up before everyone else. And I know what time everyone in the house wakes up, and so I would just wake up, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour earlier, and then that would be the time to myself. Because you can say, well, you know, I can find some time in the day, but is it consistent? Are you going to get that same every single day? I couldn't because of my work or, you know, for various reasons. The morning, I had control. So I say, let me just make sure that I wake up before everyone else. And that's the time I'm going to need to reflect.
And in fact, now I
have a morning routine as well in the morning.
Okay. I love a routine. I love a little insight into people's rituals and what they do. So talk us through that.
Right. So the first, I'm going to tell you what two things are not allowed. And the first one is snooze, right? You're not allowed to press that button. Or not allowed to have a mental snooze as well if you're not using an alarm.
I was about to say, I don't press snooze, but then I do, you know, linger more than I should, perhaps. Yes, okay, go on, fine.
Think about it. That's your first action. And that sets the tone for the rest of the day. So do you want to be the snoozer or do you want to be known as the one who gets things done, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about affecting your conscious and subconscious mind. So no snoozing. And the second thing is, which I was very guilty of, is you're not allowed to touch newspaper or your mobile phone, tablet, laptop, TV, none of that.
What? For how long? How?
until you finish your morning routine. And I was guilty. I used to reach out for my phone first thing in the morning. I could barely open my eyes.
But what if my morning routine is doing my little word puzzle on, you know, the Times app or, you know, a quick email check? What are some of the good things we should put into our morning routine?
There can be, but that can wait a little bit, right? It can wait till you finish what I'm about to share, because that will, see what happens is at the end of the day, what if there's a notification there and there's some negative news about, you know, X number of deaths in certain countries, or, you know, a friend or a family member sent you something that you didn't like. Now, all of a sudden, you're in a negative space. And that, again, is first thing in the morning.
Yeah, it sets
and
the
I'm
tone.
Not sure about you. I'm not sure about you, but if you give me some negative news first thing in the morning, it takes me a long time to get back up.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that going to affect the time with your children, with your loved ones, with your colleagues, you know, with productivity? It's all going to go down. At least it did for me.
Okay, so let's put ourselves in your position every morning. So the alarm goes off, snooze is not touched. We do not reach for the phone and start scrolling mindlessly through Instagram or checking emails or, as you say, picking up on messages. What things should we put in place to make sure we're starting the day in the best possible way?
Sure. So I'll share with you what I do. And the first thing I do is move, right? So we've been lying down for many hours, hopefully 7 or 8, and the body has been pretty still. And I do monitor my heart rate, and I know that my heart rate goes down about 30% while I'm sleeping. So your heart rate is lower. You've just got up. So it's just get the body moving again, right? Get the blood flowing. So I walk around, or you could do, in my particular case, I do the sun salutation. It's a yoga move. Mm-hmm. But you can walk around. You can do star jumps, whatever works for you. But just move. Right? After you've been moving for about 10 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes, I then get into breath work. Because again, you know, I want to get the oxygen into all our cells, and this is to make me alive, to get me awake, fully awake. And it's about those deep belly breaths, right? Not the ones where your chest is going in and out, but rather you can keep your hand on your belly, and if your belly is going in and out while you're breathing, success. That's the kind of breath I'm speaking about, the real deep ones. So I do that for another 10 or 15 minutes. Then I get into meditation. Now, some people say, oh, I tried it. It's a bit hard. But there's so many different forms of meditation. You know, there's chanting, there's guided meditation, there's silence meditation, and so forth and so forth. Find, you know, try different ones. See which one works for you. But remember one thing, you know, when we were crawling, when we started to walk, and we fell so many times, we didn't give up. We kept going. And now we're not just walking, but we're running. So the same way with meditation, give it time and try it. Mm-hmm. If you've really, really tried and it doesn't work, just spend that time in silence alone, just reflecting.
And just
the key here is just to be by yourself.
Exactly, and stop distracting yourself. So slap that phone right out of your hand, even if you are using a meditation app. Try and keep a bit focused. Okay.
Well, it's funny because some people say, I use my phone as an alarm. I said, well, go buy an alarm clock. That's not an excuse, right?
Oh, so, I know you're right.
So the point of the meditation or the aloneness is to get centered, right, between the mind and the heart. And then finally, what I do is I journal. And in my journal, the first three things that I write are three things that I'm grateful for. I follow that with three things that I'm excited about at that given moment in time. Then I write a positive affirmation. Now, you can search that on Google, and there's so many out there. Find the one that resonates with you and write that down. The one that I'm using right now is, I have the power to change my life for the better, to get it right and get the desired results. You know, that's kind of my energy boost in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go through a quick process of forgiveness. Anyone I need to forgive or I need to ask for forgiveness, I write that down and just kind of cleanse myself, release. And then I put in my top priorities of the day. And it's not going to be a huge task list. It's just the top priorities, which are absolutely essential that I must get done on this day. And then finally, I close with a statement writing, today is going to be the best day ever.
Oh, now, who wouldn't have a great day having done that for, you know, as you say, 20 minutes before? I love
that. That came from the kids.
Really?
So that's from SpongeBob.
The wisdom of SpongeBob. I love it. I love it. So you're kind of starting your day decluttered with a clean slate. Not even a clean slate, a positive mindset. Whereas I know I do. I start the day feeling frantic and bogged down and a bit overwhelmed. And how am I going to manage to do X, Y, Z? And, oh, you know, just frantic, really. So when you talk about decluttering, you know, body, mind and soul, is that what you're talking about?
That's definitely part of it. That's part of the decluttering the mind process, right? And to go back to the example of this mobile phone, for example, now if you pick up your phone and read something you don't like, because you're already in a hot energy, you know, in a good place, even if you read something negative, you're going to be, you might fall a little bit, but you're not going to get knocked out, right? So you're still going to be in a good place to be able to get the results you're looking for, if not better, throughout the day.
So can I ask you, I mean, under normal circumstances, and I still don't even know what normal means anymore, to be honest, how would you work with clients? What does that actually look like, Sahil?
Lovely. So I usually take them through the, you know, what, there's three steps, as I mentioned. One of them is decluttering, because what happens is that there's a lot of us who are carrying a lot of baggage with us, and it can be physical as well. It could be illnesses in our body. I wouldn't necessarily say illnesses, but irritations in our body that can easily be avoided, right, by changing your dietary habits. But as I try to understand where they are in their life right now, and there's a wonderful concept called the Wheel of Life, right? If you search it, find it, where you can rate yourself in these different areas of life. And once I have an understanding where they are, then I can start sharing with them the technique. And one component, as I mentioned, is removing physical and mental clutter. And that will include material things, the body, people, and the mind as well. And then the second step is I climb a lot of mountains. I'm a mountain climber. Climbed, you know, some pretty big mountains across various continents. And I use the techniques about reaching the summit with these leaders as well. Because, you know, when you're on the mountain, you're living there and in an environment where you're not in control, nature is very much in control, all your cracks are amplified, right? So if there's a problem in the team, it's going to be amplified on the mountain, right? If you have challenges with your gear, it's going to get amplified. If there's unforeseen circumstances, it's going to be amplified, and it's a matter of life and death at that stage. So it's how can I share those analogies of reaching the summit on the mountain with these individuals as well? And then the third step is really focusing on purpose. You know, it's the why. And, you know, as we've heard before, the two most important days in your life are the day that you're born and the day you find out why, right? So it's really going deep within reflection, perhaps even spiritual, depending on the individual, to find their why. So it's really going through a process depending on how they complete the Wheel of Life and where they are in their journey and what they're looking for and which direction they want to head in.
Now, one of the things you mentioned is about decluttering people, which one of the things during the last few weeks, it has made me realise that there are lots of people that I perhaps don't necessarily want to see again. I've managed quite well without having them in my life in person over the last couple of weeks. What do you mean by decluttering people? Is this a chance to kind of cut my address book down in half or unfollow half the people on Instagram that I, you know, hate follow?
So look, there are two components to this, right? One is, as you've rightfully said, you're more aware of the people you want to spend more time with. And the others are acquaintances. It doesn't mean that you don't want to see them anymore, but you're not going to go out of your way, perhaps, to make arrangements to meet them for dinner or other social gatherings. But if you do happen to meet them, you know, you're fine. There's no ill will between the two people. So that's one component, and that's the easier one. But the other one is to mend the relationships which where there's some hurt, perhaps. You know, decluttering people doesn't just necessarily mean cut self-love. It's about how you can be unaffected by people that perhaps have hurt you, or you want to go out and mend relationships that are partially broken. And I always refer to relationships as a crystal ball versus a rubber ball. A rubber ball, when you drop, it can bounce back, right? And that could be money. Like right now, many people are struggling with maybe their business. Money is going to go down, but it can come and bounce back up, right? The relationships, once they get to a certain and the ball drops, that's the end of it. So if there's a relationship out there that hasn't yet smashed and you want to revive it, it's what techniques can you use to bring that back? Because clearly, if you're thinking about it, it means it matters to you. Mm-hmm. Now, that could be, you know, a family member, it could be a sibling, it could be a parent, it could be a cousin, it could be, perhaps one of the best friends in childhood. There are lots of different people that matter to you that unfortunately are not in your life today, and you'd like to have them back.
And can I ask then, if you could give people one bit of advice then, as we are in these strange circumstances and we find ourselves either with more time, or we need more time, we need more focus, we need to make it count, I suppose. What are some of the steps that we could take today to help find our purpose, help declutter mind, body, and soul?
So the first thing that I would say is that we have a lot of, you know, the day that I described to you earlier where I just felt I was always on the run, a lot of noise in my life, if that's the best way to put it, a lot of noise or clutter, however you want to phrase it, and that didn't allow me to see clearly. So if I'm in that state of mind and I'm trying to find out my why, the chances are going to be slim to none. But if I start removing the things that are holding me down, right, those balls and chains that I identify, and then I start cutting them one at a time by addressing whether it's a physical or mental clutter one at a time, becoming lighter, I'm able to now start running because I'm not dragging this heavy weight with me, and things just start to become more clear. So what happened with me was, as I started to remove all this clutter in my life, one day it just popped into me and my purpose became clear. But I do want to highlight that prior to that, I was facing a lot of anxiety because I didn't know what my purpose was. And I was thinking, I'm like, why am I not figuring this out? And then I'd ask my wife, and she's like, yes, I know my purpose. And she shared it with me, and it made absolute sense. And even though she's a loved one, that actually made it worse for me, because I'm like, if a loved one knows with such clarity, why not me? Why have I not figured it out yet? And it turned out that it's one of those things, if you're constantly chasing after something, it sometimes never appears. So, I accepted the fact that one purpose that is universal is I want the soul that entered my body at the time of birth to be in a better place when it leaves this body, mm-hmm. which is the day that I die. And that happens by being a good human being, right? So the universal purpose is the same for all of us. It's about compassion and love and spreading that, not just with ourselves, but with all those around us as well. And over time, one day when I was reading and I was in deep thought, I think this was just after my meditation, it became clear to me that my specific purpose was spreading the message of nonviolence, right? And that's why I do what I do. Because when I help leaders and I help people to declutter from their life, you go back to your authentic self. And if you remember, or if you have young children, or you were a child, or you remember when your children were young, at, like 4 years old, 5 years old, they're just full of love and compassion. Mm-hmm. And even if they get upset, how long does that last? 5 minutes, 3 minutes, and they're back to compassion and love, right? That's who they are. That's the authentic human. And people always tell me, we need to help our children grow up. And I say, yes, we need to educate them, but we need to become more like them, which is compassion and love. How many times have you held a grudge against someone and not spoken to them for days? And in some cases, the relationship may have even been severed. Mm-hmm. That does not happen with a 4 or 5 year old.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right? So it's like, how do we go back to that state of compassion and love? because that's what's going to help us get through these challenging times, as you know, as a united force, you know, all citizens of the world as one, and become stronger as well once all this is gone. And then wars are gone, you know, cheating is gone. The world just becomes a better place.
Sahil, if people want to kind of delve into this deeply, whether that's, you know, kind of with your advice or, you know, independently, what's the best way of finding out more about your ideas and your methods and ultimately spending some time with you perhaps?
Yeah, so I do a lot of sharing. You know, I believe in sharing because it's important to give people tools which they can start applying. So people can follow me on social media, you know, on LinkedIn. If you search my name, Sahil Mehta, I pop up. On Instagram, it's Sahil K. Mehta is my handle. On Facebook, it's Mehta Sahil. But if you search my name, you should be able to find me across all platforms. And if anyone then is interested, take it a step further, and they want to attend, you know, maybe put together a workshop, or they want to attend one-on-one coaching or even group coaching, then they can always approach me. They can visit my website and just, you know, fill out a form and contact me. All my details are present across all these platforms.
Thank you so much for sharing your insights and giving us some real good food for thought during these strange and challenging times. I think you're right, and I'm definitely going to take your morning routine on board, and maybe sales of alarm clocks are going to go up across Dubai. Who knows? But you might be the man responsible. Saha, thank you so much for your time today. Wishing you a happy and healthy holy month, and stay home, stay safe, please. And hopefully we'll speak very soon.
Absolutely. So I have one final very quick tip for everyone. And it's a short story that I'll share, which is, you know, the sailor went to the captain and said, "When am I going to get my pay?" And the captain said, "Oh." So the sailor, you know, the next day was very excited, went to the captain, you know, expecting to receive his gold coins, and said, "You know, captain, when am I going to get my pay?" The captain said, "Didn't I tell you tomorrow?" So that's why I always tell people, you know, let's not procrastinate, and let's start and implement these tools that we've learned, whether through me or anyone else for that matter, that can help you to improve your life today.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic afternoon, and we'll speak to you very soon. Keep inspiring, and that website again is sahilmehta.com.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.